If you're going to serve me a steak that cost 50 cents, don't yell at me for eating it off the floor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popular Science's Techathlon, tech news through games, trivia, and usually friendly competitions. I'm your host, Jason Letterman, and playing along with me today are Corinne, Indiana Jones Iosio.
Oh, that is the best. Thank you.
Stan, Han Solo Horacek.
Who's that?
He's a character in the Star Wars.
Okay.
And Rob, Rick Deckard Verger.
Why are we all Harrison Ford things?
Hey, you got it. Because I went to Star Wars World last week, and I love Han Solo, and I flew the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, is that Blade Runner, Rick Deckard?
That is Blade Runner.
There we go.
Let's get started today with the Techathlon Decathlon 10 trivia questions to catch you up on the week's tech news. I'll ask our panel all about what's been happening in the tech world since our last episode, and they'll buzz in to answer. They'll get a point for each question they correctly answer and have the opportunity to steal any question that their fellow panelists answer incorrectly, as long as it's not true or false or multiple choice. Whoever has the most points at the end of the round will win a coveted prize, a high five from Rob Verger.
I won't even charge for it.
Let's get started. Question number one. Researchers from the University of Electrocommunications Tokyo and the University of Michigan released a paper last week detailing a previously unknown way to hack smart assistant home devices. The group was able to send the command to open a garage door to a variety of Google Home and Nest devices, as well as Amazon Echoes and Fire Cube TV, Facebook's Portal Mini, and even some previous generations of iPhone and Samsung Galaxy smartphones by doing what? Rob.
Did they shine a laser at them?
They did. They shined a laser at the device and hit it in a very specific spot. No one is sure why the lasers quite work, but the team has dubbed the vulnerability Light Commands.
My vast experience of watching spy movies suggests that, you know, you've seen a lot of movies like people using lasers to eavesdrop from a distance. So I wonder if there is a way to either carry an audio signal or perceive an audio signal by using a laser as its, like, you know, medium.
The thing about this is it's not very sneaky, though. Most smart home devices, if they get a command, will then audibly speak. And you have to hit the device again in a very precise spot. So it's unlikely someone could use this hack without you knowing, but it is possible.
It's pretty weird that it works on like smartphones too.
Yeah, that was the one that got me. Mm-hmm. The iPhone XR and also the S9.
It's interesting that it's those specific models. I'm puzzling over what's...
Yeah, they were able to trigger Siri and Bixby. Is that the Samsung one?
Yeah.
I wonder if those had the kind of the always listening mode on for like, hey, Siri or whatever.
Sure. Question number two. Adobe introduced a new camera app at its Adobe Max conference last week. It uses AI, lighting effects, and special lenses to transform pictures which can be uploaded directly to social media. Can you remember the name of this app? Rob.
Is it Photoshop?
You're close, but it's not Photoshop. Stan.
It's called Photoshop Camera, right?
It's Photoshop Camera. Mm. That's it.
Yeesh.
Is this going to be the new thing that all the kids like? Is this the new Snapchat?
No. No, it's not. The real trouble is that Adobe's in this spot where they make these amazing tools for people to edit photos, and people have just stopped editing photos. Like, people expect finished photos to come out of their camera now, and they just don't edit them. And if they do, it's to put some sort of wacky dog ear Snapchat filter on it or something like that. So, like, Adobe is just really phenomenal at doing something that people aren't doing very much anymore because they released full Photoshop for the iPad, and it's amazing. But I would have to wonder how many people are going to use it.
Not me.
Right. Because it sort of makes something, like, kind of fun feel a little bit like work, which some people like, but some people don't. So
you got to be a photo editor to really.
Yeah, you got to be a super, like, I got super excited about it, but which makes me think that no one else is excited about it.
Question number three. What suite of products unveiled its own mobile app last Monday, which combines all of its formerly separate properties into one central hub? It also allows for transferring files from computers to phones, converting images to text, and is available now on both Android and iOS mobile devices. Stan.
Are we talking about Office?
We are talking about Microsoft Office. It was announced at the Ignite conference and is not yet available for iPad or Android tablets.
I can't wait to never use that.
Yep.
You know, I've talked to people and they say that like Microsoft Teams and some of those other functions are like really good. And they're just so soul crushing that, like, I don't know, when they're like, the better they are at it, the worse your life is, I think, really. So,
well, the better they are at it, the heavier like Microsoft Word gets. I open Word and I just feel my computer go, like, it's terrible. Just open a Google Doc.
Yeah, I think a lot of the programs have come a long way. And there's a, like, definitely that was what I think we all learned how to word process on and create slideshows and PowerPoint and spreadsheets and Excel. But it's hard to justify paying $300 a year for Microsoft Office when you have access to Google Docs for free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm much too lazy. Like, even when I get Word documents, I just open them and whatever. What's the Apple thing called? Pages?
Oh, no.
No, no. Why would you do that?
Never.
Well, nobody's yelled at me
open
so far.
Open it in Word, at least. It's a Word doc.
Your personal decisions are terrible.
you're probably right.
Question number four. Which digital assistant was updated last week with new features, including read my emails and the ability to send you an email with an overview of your day, any documents you may need, and a reminder of things you agreed to follow up on in emails? Corinne.
Google Assistant.
It was not Google Assistant. Rob.
Was it Alexa?
It was not Alexa.
Stan. One more.
I don't know. Is it Cortana or is it Siri? Siri? Is it Siri?
It's not Siri. It was Cortana.
It was Cortana.
It was also announced at the Ignite conference. Right now, it's only available on Outlook for iOS, but it'll be coming to other devices soon. And they've also added a male voice to Cortana.
Yeah, that's right. I read about that.
I love that Microsoft isn't even treating its own devices like flagships. We're going to put this on Apple devices first, and then maybe we'll get to the Surface.
Which is weird because you would think after all of the buddy-buddy stuff they did with Samsung earlier this year with Note 10 and the whatever,
and now a Windows phone.
Yeah, whatever the latest, they have that ARM-powered laptop thing that like runs Windows kinda, you know, like it really seemed like Samsung and Microsoft were kind of doing the BFF thing and now they have like an Apple exclusive thing. I don't know, I guess Microsoft's really just kind of getting out there. They're just making friends later in life, which is hard to do.
I will say it's great for people who may be visually impaired. That's a it's a great service.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Sure. They're in the new Mac OS. There's a whole like accessibility like where you can do voice recognition and navigate your whole computer by voice.
That's cool.
And it's amazing. Yeah. That stuff's come a really long way. So it's cool to see it happening.
Yeah. Question number five is a true or false question. For years, the Federal Trade Commission has been sending warnings to celebrities and influencers to ensure they follow the rules when it comes to advertising and promoting products or brands. True or false? Last week, the FTC released a brochure for social media influencers to help them better act within the bounds of the law. Stan.
I'll say true because they're always doing stupid garbage like that.
This is some stupid garbage like that. Yeah. It's true. The brochure is called, and I'm not making this up, Disclosures 101 for Social Media Influencers.
Ugh. Yeah, and it's...
I mean, did you want them to be clever?
A little.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It should have been called, Super Stoked to be Partnering with Influencers.
Hashtag ad.
Hashtag government. Hashtag the law.
I was gifted this tedious booklet that I have to read so I don't go to jail.
At FTC.gov, hashtag ad.
Loving it.
Yeah.
Question number six. About a year and a half ago, Uber was thrust into the spotlight when its self-driving car struck and killed a pedestrian outside of a crosswalk. New documents from the National Transportation Safety Board were uncovered by Bloomberg and made what disturbing claim about Uber's self-driving system? Stan.
I don't know if I have this exactly right, but I'm pretty sure that I don't know.
Did it trolley problem then?
I think it... My understanding of it is that it could see pedestrians, but it didn't have the technology it needed to avoid them. But it also may have just been that it couldn't see them. I can't remember. I know we've talked about both in the course of writing about this.
You're in the right region.
That's okay. I can get it wrong. But it's one of those things where it's like it could or couldn't see it, but it definitely couldn't avoid it.
Yeah. Rob or Corinne, does either one of you want to jump in here?
I'll just add that I know one of the problems with that accident was that the software like wasn't hooked up to the car's automatic braking system. Mm-hmm. So even if they could correctly kind of perceive the pedestrian and say, like, let's stop right now, the emergency brake was switched off.
Yeah, the microphone's on, but it's not plugged in.
Right. So the answer that I'm looking for is it could recognize pedestrians, but not if they were jaywalking. At the time of recording, the investigation is not yet complete, and the NTSB has not rendered a verdict on the cause of the accident, but it probably doesn't help that the driver was streaming TV on her phone when the crash occurred. Question number 7. Tesla fans have eagerly been awaiting the company's electric pickup for years, and CEO Elon Musk finally has an update on the vehicle. Musk tweeted last week that the car will be unveiled on November 21st, an apparent reference to the film Blade Runner, since Musk has said the film's aesthetic was an inspiration. What name did he give this new offering from Tesla? Rob.
Is it the Cybertruck?
Yes, it's called Cybertruck, and the reference to Blade Runner is that the original film's opening scene takes place in November 2019.
Why can't he just be like, yeah, it's going to look cool. It's going to be a cool truck. He has to be like, it's going to take
He's got to make it a thing.
He said like, oh, it's going to take your breath away and be like Blade Runner. Like, it's a pickup truck, bro. Like, just take it easy.
It's not going to arrive for 5 years, and they're going to make 3 of them, and then whatever.
Ay, ay, ay.
Question number 8. The parent company of what popular smartphone app released a smartphone with a name that translates in English to the Nut Pro 3? The device has 4 cameras on the back, including a 48-megapixel sensor and a front-facing 20-megapixel camera. Rob.
Is it whatever company owns TikTok?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, my God. Is it Tencent or whatever?
The parent company is ByteDance, and they acquired smartphone manufacturer Smartisan in January. The phone is currently only available, though, in China.
You remember when Facebook released a phone?
No.
I remember there was the Facebook phone.
Yeah.
I remember there was an iTunes phone, too.
You mean an iPhone?
No. Like there was it was called, like, the Motorola iTunes phone.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah.
The Facebook phone was terrible.
That sounds like a great future Techathlon game is who made the phone.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the Facebook phone, but only barely.
It's because it was only out for about a day.
Right. And it was not good.
Question number 9. Airbnb has had some bad press lately. On Halloween, Vice released an article called "I Accidentally Uncovered a Nationwide Scam on Airbnb." Days later, the company's CEO announced a new policy to ban party houses after 5 people were shot and killed at an Airbnb mansion party where more than 100 people were in attendance. To shed its well-earned reputation, Airbnb has vowed to vet 100% of properties and hosts on its platform by when? Your choices are A, the end of 2020, B, mid-2021, C, the end of 2021, or D, mid-2022. Stan.
I'm going to say the end of 2020.
That's it.
That's ambitious.
It's ambitious.
Yeah, because it's like 7 million things they have to vet or something, right? Is that the number?
But that's even the shortest option.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Because the reaction to this has been like,
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Right, sure.
Well, because it's 7 million, but it's not like it's 7 million a static number. It's 7 million and counting.
And counting, right, yeah. And they're like, to go back through all those. And I mean, how long does it take to like get someone to do something, to email someone? And I have a hard enough time getting 3 people to email me back. I can't imagine waiting for 7 million people to email me back.
And what are they, have they said anything about how exactly they're going to go about verifying all of this?
Yes. So they're going to verify through more thorough guest questionnaires after stays. And also a guarantee that a place doesn't meet standards, the company will find a new place of equal value or issue you a refund. And they're also going to open a 24/7 emergency hotline.
Which is good. They should have
It's astonishing that they didn't have it.
If there's something that's really that urgent, you should call the police. Don't call Airbnb first.
Well, I mean, I imagine it would handle stuff like, I'm at my Airbnb. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I just got here and now I can't.
And no one's here to let me in.
Yeah.
Right.
I've had to imagine
that's
what it's for, right?
Okay. That's fair.
Book me a room at the Holiday Inn.
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Question number 10, the final question of the round. We return back to the Ignite conference. Warner Brothers and Microsoft are teaming up to create a new kind of digital storage. The proof of concept was unveiled at Ignite and saw the entirety of the 1978 film Superman transferred onto a coaster-sized disc of what material? Corinne.
It's like optical glass, isn't it?
It's glass, yeah. So the data is encoded into the glass via a laser, which creates a 3D pixel called a voxel, and it uses AI to read the data back.
That's adorable that it's Superman.
Yeah.
Because they trap the bad guys in glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end.
Oh, wow.
That's Superman 2 with Zod.
Oh, well, I have to imagine that that's what the illusion was, right? Otherwise,
or it's the
Superman?
Fortress of Solitude, the ice castle. I mean, stuff like this is just bonkers, but it doesn't blow my mind anywhere near as much as people using DNA for storage, which is probably the most dense thing that we can store stuff on right now. And I mean, they're still at the very, very beginning of it, but the fact that we can do it at all is just mind-bending.
I'm full of data storage right now.
Stan, you're full of data storage and also the winner of this week's decathlon. Wow. So congratulations. You have won the high five from Rob Verger. You can claim your prize now.
I'll take a rain check. No, we got it.
There we go.
It was a good high five. It didn't sound very good on the microphones, but I saw it.
It was
solid.
A
good high five.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the business high five. Should be used more.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Google's latest smartphone, the Pixel 4, has a pretty neat function. It can transcribe audio in real time. Stan, you've been playing around with the Pixel for a bit, and you have a challenge for us?
Yeah. So the Pixel 4 Recorder app, which just updated, and I think it's coming to the Pixel 3 too, so if you have one of those two phones, you can check this out. It will actually transcribe what you say as you say it if you're using the recorder. And we're journalists, so we're always interviewing people, and then we want to claw our eyeballs out because you have to transcribe it. You have to sit down and transcribe it, or you have to pay someone to do it. And this does it in real time automatically. So I was very curious about this when I got the phone and I started trying it out, and I've been really impressed by it. And it turns out one of the reasons it's so good is because this technology is built directly into the phone. It's not reaching out to the cloud. So when Google like transcribes your voicemail or whatever, sometimes you have that, it's doing that through the cloud. So sometimes it takes a little while. The phone is doing this in real time, and I've been amazed at what stupid words it's been able to get. So I'm going to turn on the recorder, and then you guys are going to have to try and either read or recite something and try and trip it up. And if it gets it wrong, then you get a point. But if it gets it right, then you've been beaten by the machine.
We're competing against each other and against the Pixel in this case.
Yeah, so the Pixel could win, in theory, could win this contest.
Cool.
And it works even in like airplane mode, right?
Yeah, because it's all right on the device, which makes it pretty amazing.
Like, yeah.
And it's crazy because as you're talking, you see the words pop up. So it's pretty wild. If you think something like that is wild, which we do. I've been messing with it and trying, so I'm not going to play this game. But you guys can throw whatever you have at it. So, Corinne, we can start with you.
Okay.
So you just press record there, and then it'll start recording.
Okay.
And then you should just start reading, and it'll show up on the screen. And if it's wrong, then you win.
Okay. There's this fine print on Crest boxes that's been there since our parents were kids. And my dad used to, for whatever reason, have a really fun time reading the fine print that was in the commercials as quickly as he possibly could. So that's what I'm going to try first. Crest has been shown to be an effective decay preventative dentifrice that can be of significant value when used as directed in a conscientiously applied program of oral hygiene and regular professional care.
Did it get dentrifice right?
Yes.
What?
An effective decay preventative dentrifice that can be of significant value when used as directed in a conscientiously applied program. Yeah, it got it. I've been beaten.
1 point to the Google.
1 point to the Google. Jason?
Wow. So my first strategy is to not speak in English, but to speak in Pig Latin. Because that is a thing that I can do, and I know Stan can't, so I know it's not a way he's attempted to beat this before.
Not at all. I can just tune right out during this part.
All right, let's try it. Irse ava inte. Uye enke one utwe aimye aingse. Aye iwe ibe ide ampianche avye iste alanche. And forward, that is, here's the thing. You can't know what I'm saying. I will be the champion of this challenge.
Look at you.
Oh, I beat it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I beat it so good.
What did it say? Tell us what it says.
Dear say of a infe and Q on a way, I'm gay and say I eat way eat. I ate away eBay ambient che I feel like.
Wow, that's a lot like my real life. That's weird.
I think I won. That's point one to Jason.
Okay. Point to Jason.
So Pig Latin.
Pig
fools
Latin
it.
Cannot do.
I don't
so
think
it's not. So it's not a straight phonics game. Is basically what's
but
happening.
It kind of is sometimes because I was trying words last night like snarfalupagus, and it was like doing it like even just do total nonsense. It would like listen out if you say them clearly enough. I think it'll like get them. I think it might be a pronunciation thing.
I'm going to try reading the Pixel some Shakespeare and see what happens. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Be not her maid, since she is envious. Her vestal livery is but sick and green, and none but fools do wear it. Okay, yeah, it got it, but it didn't do it perfectly. It got some words wrong. Like, let's see here.
Did it get, like, thou?
Yeah, let's see. Like, arise, fair sun, it did a rise, like two separate words, so. Yeah.
So more of, like, a typo than a
than actually
mishearing.
The word wrong.
Yeah, or, like, it didn't get the right word, but it got close enough. So I would say the Google gets it in this case, even though it's not perfect.
I almost feel like Shakespeare could be something in the database of stuff that it's pulling from.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was surprised it didn't just, like, recognize it and then just throw it up there for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, almost.
It's like, oh, I think this is what you're doing, you plagiarist. Okay, so that's, what is that? Google 2 points, humans 1 point?
Yeah.
Can I try something? Can I try one more thing?
Sure.
I want to try something that's English, but I want to try something that's old English.
Is that old with an E at the end?
Oldie English. Yes, okay. I'm going to read the first few lines of the prologue to Canterbury Tales. All righty, here we go. Let's do some Chaucer. When that Avril with his short is sota, the drought of March hath pursed toe the rota, and bathed every vein in switch liquor, of which vertu engendered is the flor.
Man, these Taylor Swift lyrics have gotten weird.
How'd it do, Corinne?
Very bad.
Shocking.
So,
and be that every vein in switched decor, of which vertu and gender is the floor.
So technically we tied, but we had to resort to trickery to get it to not work.
And then Stan said some stuff about Taylor Swift lyrics, which it got.
Got that.
That's
right.
I gotta give that to the Pixel then. The Pixel wins this game.
I think the Pixel's pretty good.
We have lost. The Pixel has won this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole point of this is that it's a really awesome technology, and it's pretty impressive. If you have a Pixel 3, or if you have a Pixel 4, you can use it now, and I think it's coming, the Pixel 3, so check it out.
Thanks, Dan. Let's move on to our final game of the episode. Facebook unveiled a new corporate logo last week, which sent the internet into a fury. The block letter all caps text will be used as part of the From Facebook moniker being added to the end of Instagram and WhatsApp, but not Facebook, the social network. New logos are often criticized, and we'll delve deeper into that in this game. I'll read you some horror stories of famously bad logos and rebrandings, and you'll have to tell me the company or brand to which it belongs. Listen carefully, because some, but not all, of these questions contain a hint in them. All right, we are going to start with Rob.
All right.
Question number one. In 2018, a major tech retailer decided to change its logo. Whereas the old design was yellow with black block letters, the new one is a sans serif font and reduces the yellow to just a splash in the corner. Verge writer Chaim Gartenberg said the white font on a blue background, a color the company is known for, looks like Bud Light's logo. Somehow the retailer is still around today, so I guess the new logo wasn't the worst purchase.
Is it Best Buy?
It is Best Buy.
All right, thank you for that hint.
Yeah. I think that one was impossible without it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I had no idea.
Could you draw the Best Buy logo right now from memory?
The new one or the old one?
Any of them.
I can spell Best Buy.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
It's the price tag, right? The old one is the price tag.
The old one is the price tag.
Oh, yeah.
The new one does kind of look like the Bud Light logo. It's that similar font. It says Best Buy, and it has a little yellow price tag just next to the Y in buy. Number two, this one is for Corinne. Back in 2016, a transportation company wanted to localize its designs to the countries where it was operating. The new logo centered around a bit, which is basically an empty square. The background pattern and color would change, though, depending on the user's location. The plan was ultimately scrapped after 2 years for a simpler black and white logo and an emphasis on you. What is the company?
Is it Uber?
It is Uber. That was a trick. The emphasis on you.
Yeah. I was almost there, and then you said that, and I was like, mm-hmm.
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 That sucks, because I was going to just guess Uber for whatever Jason says, because I feel like I'm going to be bad at this game, and now...
You still can.
Now my strategy is out the window.
All right, Stan, here's your question. It's very trendy to drop vowels in a logo or app name, but one TV network has been getting grief about making that decision in its logo since 2018. The network's logo was blue and white from 2011 until the change, which turned the abbreviated name yellow and purple. Some of the better-known programs on this channel include Man vs. Food, Expedition Unknown, and Anthony Bourdain No Reservations, but it also hosts Ghost Adventures, Mountain Monsters, and The Dead Files. Please name this channel.
I like ran out of brain RAM in the middle of that. I know. And I was just staring.
I was looking at the list of shows on this channel, and it was from Anthony Bourdain to Ghost Adventures, so I couldn't not include it in the question.
And the logo doesn't have any vowels?
It no longer has vowels.
Well, I can think of approximately four TV networks, and this is none of them. Is it Comedy Central?
No, it's Travel Channel. The Travel Channel.
Oh,
that's
boy.
That's a channel?
Yeah, that's the channel. It's been around since the 80s.
Turvel.
No, it's TRVL channel.
Ah.
Turvel.
Well, Turvel.
That's cheaper if you want to get yourself like an L Bean monogram backpack. Maybe that's what they were thinking.
And you always say nobody should ever travel, so here's a way to travel just by watching TV, or Turvel just by watching TV.
No one should watch that channel.
Question number four, we're back to Rob. Turvel Channel isn't the only TV channel to change its name and logo. In 2009, this genre-based channel also dropped its vowels and had viewers asking, why? The internal rebrand was done by parent company NBC Universal and stuck around until 2017, when the logo was again changed, but the new spelling remained for the network's 25th anniversary.
Is it sci-fi?
It is sci-fi.
Oh, Sci-fi. Nice.
Emphasis on Y, because now they're S-Y-F-Y.
I remember when they did that, everybody was just, why?
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 Because they couldn't own all of sci-fi, but they could own all of sci-fi. Yeah. Corinne, back to you. You may not even remember the rebrand from this major clothing retailer. On October 9th, 2010, the company announced it was changing its logo for the first time in 24 years. The new logo had the company's name in a black font with a blue square just overlapping the last letter. After swift and harsh backlash, though, it reverted to its original logo, which prominently features a blue square, just 3 days later. It has stayed that way ever since.
I know that you think that saying prominently a blue square is a clue.
I do.
Yes. But think about the person you're saying blue to.
Oh, Corinne is colorblind.
Yeah, but I'm still going to say the Gap.
Yeah, it's the Gap.
Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't even know that this was a thing, but for 3 days, the Gap had a different logo. And here's a hot take. The new Gap logo that is no longer the Gap logo is better than the Gap logo.
I like Coca-Cola. Like no, Coca-Cola classic, baby.
Who is it that's mad about this? Like, who's the person who is like, the only people who should care about this are 11-year-olds who have those Gap sweatshirts that I see everywhere.
But then, no, but those then the people vintage and
exactly,
they're cool.
Exactly. This really? Is a throwback.
Oh, man. I had one, but when I had a small child, they barfed all over it and I threw it in the trash. So you can probably go get it if you want.
Stan, here's your second question. When this major brand revamped its logo in 2008, many were confused. Some thought it was simply the old logo slightly skewed, while others thought the company ripped off the logo of a presidential campaign. But documents from the designer leaked a year later and claimed the logo was influenced by gravity, the Earth, the Mona Lisa, and more. The company allegedly paid more than $1 billion for the logo, which the designer called breathtaking and Gawker called breathtaking.
You can apply that to literally every single logo that's ever been... That's ever happened. Yahoo.
No, I know the one that they said they were ripping off, but I can't think of the other thing. It was the Obama logo, right?
They thought they were ripping off Obama. It's Pepsi. When they changed from the flat logo to the slightly askew logo.
The rippling wave logo?
The rippling wave, yeah. Mm. Rob, we're going back to you now. It's your next question.
Okay.
The late 2000s were a bad time for PepsiCo. Another one of its properties tried to change its packaging to much dismay of consumers. After protests on Facebook, Pepsi threw in the towel after just 1 month, claiming that the number of complaints didn't bother them as much as that the complaints came from loyal customers. Sales also suffered. Turns out a new design was the last straw.
Frito-Lay or Sun Chips or some sort of like sour straws or something like that that's a straw form of a food. That's my guess.
It's not that. It's Tropicana orange juice.
Oh.
With the orange with the straw yeah. in it. Another hot take, the new design was also better than the old design, which is still the current design.
We fear change.
We fear change. Corinne, your final question. If you were searching for a redesign in 2019, you found it. After 6 years of an uppercase logo, this company sought to distance itself from old management and owners and jump into the year with a new lowercase sans serif logo. It kept its iconic purple color, and the designer claimed it tilted its first letter and an exclamation point at the end at an angle of 22.5 degrees, a forward tilt that suggests a sense of momentum and excitement.
Yahoo.
Yahoo! Yes, it was Yahoo. Good job. And Stan, the final question of the round. We tend to stay away from sports on this podcast, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the 2015 redesign for this NFL franchise's logo. The helmet, which is its logo, looks almost identical to the old one, except slightly more orange than the previous incarnation. But it turns out if you look at the team's history, its logo has been some variation of an orange helmet since 1970. What franchise is it?
Clevo, right? Cleveland Browns?
The Cleveland Browns. That's it.
Did you just say Clevo?
Yeah.
Is that a thing people say?
That's a thing hardcore people say.
Okay.
People who listen to hardcore music. The one person who listens to this podcast and listens to hardcore music is excited right now.
So you.
So when you listen to this podcast
you,
on Monday.
You on Monday.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much.
So Corinne, you were the winner. You're the only person who got all of their questions correct. Congratulations.
And I didn't know what any of the color words you said meant.
My tiebreaker question, by the way, was how many iterations of the orange helmet logo have the Cleveland Browns had? The answer is seven. Seven different orange helmets.
For a team named the Browns.
Exactly the same.
For a team named Browns.
Congratulations, Corinne. Thank you all for playing panel, and thank you for listening at home. Have a great week. We'll catch you back here next Monday for another edition of Popular Sciences Techathlon. Techathlon is a popular science podcast. We're available on all major podcast platforms, so subscribe wherever you're listening now. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It will help other people to find the show. You can buy our merch, including t-shirts, tote bags, and mugs at popsci.threadless.com. The show is produced by the entire PopSci tech team and me, Jason Letterman. Our theme music is by Billy Cadden. If you have questions, suggestions, or opinions to share, tweet us at Techathlon Show. Thanks for listening.